Hey guys, our conversation today with former pro soccer player turned pastor Gavin Peacock is fantastic. And he's got maybe my favorite accent of any guest we've had on this show. It's coming up in just a minute right here on Sports Spectrum.
Welcome to the Sports Spectrum podcast, where faith and sports collide. Here's your host, Jason Romano.
Hey guys, welcome to the show. I am Jason, and this is the Sports Spectrum podcast. We're so glad that you're tuned into our show today, and we are presented by Convoy of Hope. And right now, folks, there is a movement going on around the country, a movement of kindness that's taking place with Convoy of Hope. And they are ruthless right now in trying to fight hunger and poverty and suffering in the United States and throughout the world. And right now, Convoy Nation is a gathering of friends and fans of Convoy of Hope, and it's led by athletes and celebrities and entrepreneurs and innovators who are bent on fighting hunger, who are bent on fighting poverty, who are bent on fighting suffering in and around the U.S. and the world. And you can partner with them and be a part of Convoy Nation. Check out convoynation.com. That's the website. You can learn more. And this is a group of people that's gathering to serve. Countless families around the world and in the U.S. are living on the fringe or have fallen into the depths of poverty and suffering. Let's do something about it. Check out convoynation.com to learn more, to donate, and to partner with this great organization, Convoy of Hope. convoynation.com. We are so excited today for our conversation with Gavin Peacock, the former pro soccer player turned pastor and now author. He's got a brand new book. It's called A Greater Glory, From Pitch to Pulpit. It released May 7th, 2021. Gavin is from England. He played pro soccer from 1984 to 2002 with organizations like Newcastle United and Chelsea. He was a captain with Chelsea. After retirement, he worked with the BBC as a soccer analyst for many years, but then felt this call, this nudge from the Lord to go into ministry. And in many ways, he gave it all up and moved to a remote place in Canada to go in anonymity, as he described, and pursue this calling to follow Jesus and to preach the gospel as a pastor. And he's currently a pastor at Calvary Grace Church in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. He's also the current director of international outreach for CBMW, the Council on Biblical Manhood and Womanhood. His new book, A Greater Glory, From Pitch to Pulpit, is out now. And this is Gavin Peacock's story here on Sports Spectrum. Let's take a listen. Hi, Gavin. How are you?
Very well, Jason. Thanks very much for having me.
Absolutely. It's great to have you here on the show. And it's a unique conversation because you're a pro soccer player, football player, of course, where you played, turned pastor. So I want to start with the pastor side, if that's okay with you, and kind of take us to now and over the past 15, 16 months, because it's been a challenge for everyone, but certainly for pastors, it's been a really unique challenge with COVID and the pandemic. And you're in Canada as well right now in Calgary. You're not in England anymore. So what has this been like being a pastor in Canada during this pandemic? It has to be challenging, I would imagine.
Very, very challenging. I think, for everyone, and particularly if you're in leadership at any level, and particularly for church leaders, by God's grace, we've preserved unity in our church. We've been able to preach. There's only been, I would say, a few weeks where we've actually not been able to gather publicly, but there's been some restrictions on numbers. But finally in Alberta, I think we're moving back towards being able to meet together in one service. It's been tough, and we've needed patience. I think God has been teaching as many things. I think a couple of the things is humility and wisdom. Wisdom in these days to navigate, honoring the government at the same time honoring God first. And so we are a church of around 200, Calvary Grace Church in Calgary, Alberta. And we look forward to the Lord's Day coming up in a couple of weeks or so, when we'll be all back together as one church, which is great.
Well, your book is called From Pitch to Pulpit. So there was a whole other side to Gavin Peacock before he's at the pulpit preaching the gospel. So let's learn about your journey a bit. Growing up in England, soccer/football, I have to imagine, was a passion from a very early age.
Yeah, it was. So pitch being, because I know as an American audience, it's not like pitch, it's like on the soccer pitch, the field. Yes. So from pitch to pulpit. And I'll just show you a picture of this is the book here. And anyway, so yeah, I was actually brought up in a footballing family. My father, Keith, was a professional footballer for Charlton Athletic. It's a South London team, were a premiership team a few years ago. Played 17 years for them. All I ever wanted to do was follow in my dad's footsteps. And so as a small boy, you know, I just wanted to, you know, I was brought up around the smell of the dressing room and match day on a Saturday, the roar of the crowd. And I worked hard at school, but football was the goal. And, you know, I left school at 16. I achieved the goal. I became a pro. And I had an 18-year, over 600 games, 135 goals career for teams such as Chelsea Football Club, Newcastle United, Queen's Park Rangers, amongst others, and played for some of the best coaches in the world, Glenn Hoddle, Kevin Keegan, Terry Venables, all national team managers as well, and with some of the best players in the world. Even played against the young David Beckham when he was 18 years old for Manchester United. I remember playing for Chelsea against Man U in a pre-season friendly, and I've come in at half time and I said to the lads, I said, boy, the good looking kid in midfield for Man United, he's good. What's his name? Someone said Beckham, David Beckham. Within a year, he was in the England team, and of course the rest is history. So yeah, and that was an 18 year career. 2002, I retired, and I went into media work for the BBC. So I was on TV and radio all the time, analyzing games, broadcasting to millions. And then in 2008, I gave it up to prepare for church ministry. Been a Christian since I was 18, but never sensed a call until around 2006. And so I went all the way from the pitch to the pulpit, because there's a greater glory in life than football fame and fortune. And that's a theme of the book. If I could just say one more thing about the book, if I was to sum it up.
Yeah.
I would say that, you know, you read lots of sports biographies and, you know, they're about that person. And of course, on one level, it is about the story of, you know, an ordinary boy from London who played in some of the great cup finals and for great teams. But ultimately, it's a story about someone else, and it's a story of God's grace. And it's a story of life in all of its complexities, set against the backdrop of the beautiful game, but with the light of my Christian faith upon it, so that I deal with many human interest things along the way, as winning and losing, success and failure, sickness and disability, and racism and mental health and family and fatherhood and career and all of these things. So that even if you're not a massive sports fan, you can connect to it. And I'm showing that all of life is under God. And the gospel is firmly central in all of it.
I love it. Well, it's called The Greater Glory, From Pitch to Pulpit. But I'll ask you a few more questions throughout this conversation and be mentioning that new book that you have, Gavin. There's a lot to unpack in the little bit that you just described of your career and your journey. I do want to hear your testimony, 18 years old when you came to Christ. I want to hear that in a little bit, and certainly dive into leaving the sports world and the media world and going into ministry in 2008. We'll get to that in a second. First, I want to ask you about, as a young boy growing up watching your dad in this world of soccer/football, what for you is your favorite memory when you think about being a kid? Because you described it so wonderfully about getting ready on game day and the smell and the roar of the crowd and all of that. Do you have a favorite memory as a child of being around your dad and maybe watching an event, meeting a person, whatever it might be that comes to mind when you think of your childhood?
Yeah, I think a couple of things. I've always got a picture in my mind of match day, sitting in the old stadium there at Charlton Athletic, you know, the smell of cigar smoke and pipes, you know, people, the guys in their trilby hats would be sitting there and you'd be able to smoke pipes and cigars quite freely. The smell of that, and then watching my dad burst through with the ball and smash a goal in, you know, we've got a vivid picture of that. And then secondly, my dad, who was a great father and a good coach, but he would take me with him in school holidays to the training ground and just being a young boy scampering around the training ground and then watching the guys play and then the players just having chats with me because they were like, these stars were like friends to me and taking an interest in me as a young kid and encouraging my own dream to be a footballer, just sort of stuck with me that need to, for older guys to kind of just show an interest in younger people to help encourage them along the way.
When did you realize you were pretty good at this game?
Yeah. Well, I was kicking a ball as soon as I could walk. And then my dad was the type that would, you know, we weren't cosseted as kids. He would put us in for things, you know, go try this, go in for that. Don't be afraid to lose, you know, expose me to kind of situations where, you know, I kind of thrown out my depth a little bit. And so over the park or whatever, play with the bigger boys. And my dad would be able to see, well, even though I wasn't as big, technically I was quite good and I could control the ball and I could pass the ball, but he'd also taught me character things. I talk about that a lot in the book, is developing character in kids. And so I could not only control the soccer ball, I could control my temper. So the two things were going hand in hand, character building, but the talent side. And I think, you know, he could see that I was going to be decent. And I probably knew when I was about 8 years old and I played for my school team and I was a little bit ahead of the others and I scored my first goal. I thought, yeah, no, I'm going to be good at soccer. Now, could I make it all the way? That was maybe when I was about 14, 15, I actually ended up playing for England schoolboys. So I represented my country at that age. So that at that age, then every club in the country wanted to sign me as a schoolboy with a view to give me a pro contract. And so then I knew I had a very good chance. But as I say to many, many people, even when you sign that first pro contract, it doesn't mean you've made it. It's just the beginning. And so many young players who signed a pro contract for a year or two, you see them fade away. Making it is staying there and staying there year after year after year.
Yeah. It's funny because I was looking at, you know, you mentioned 16, I think, when you signed that pro contract and 17 or so, you know, when you start your pro career and you come to Christ at 18. So I really want to hear this story because I'm imagining at that point, soccer is your life. And somehow the gospel comes in and does what the gospel can do for so many of us. It transforms us. What took place for you? What happened to you?
Yeah, I wasn't brought up in a Christian home. Loving family. Mum and dad were great and some great principles of parenting and all of that, but wasn't brought up in a Christian home. But the problem was because football was my God, if I played well, I was up. If I played badly, I was down. So I'm kind of up and down. I've made it. I've achieved the schoolboy dream. Everything the world tells you will make you happy. You know, you've got the great career, you've got potential fame and potential money. Of course, that's going to make you, you know, it's what everything's promoted in the media for anything nowadays, you know, followers on this and that, popularity.
Yeah.
But I had it, and yet I wasn't totally satisfied because soccer was my God. I was living at home at the time, and my mum just said one night, as I say, she's not a Christian, oh, I'm just going to pop along to the local church. It's literally, it was 100 yards down the road. Barnhurst Methodist Church. So I just went along to keep my mum company that night. And the minister said to me after, he said, oh, Gavin, I have a youth meeting at my house on a Sunday night. He said, there'll be some kids your age there, other 17, 18 year olds. Why don't you come along? I said, yeah, I'm not doing anything. I'll pop along. Pulled up to the meeting that night in my Ford Escort XR3i. It's a proper 1980s sports car. If for younger viewers, they won't, or listeners, they won't know, but look it up. It's a proper nice car.
Gavin, I had a Ford Escort as my first car. Let me just say that. So it wasn't a sport. It wasn't a sport version, but I did have a Ford Escort in the 1980s.
We were close. and it was 1980s, and I had the mullet to match. Now I've got nothing on top, but hey ho. I got out the car that night. Again, got the car, got the career. I'm in the in crowd. I'm walking into this living room where there's half a dozen young people my own age who didn't have what I had. They weren't in the in crowd as such. And yet when they spoke about Jesus Christ and when they prayed, they had a joy and a reality that I did not have. Mm-hmm. And then over the next couple of weeks, I heard the minister unpack from the Bible, what is the gospel? What is the good news of what God has done to save sinners like me? And I realized that then that my biggest problem was not to gain the approval of the crowd on a Saturday, but to be in a right relationship with the living God, against whom I'd sinned, under whose judgment I stood, and yet because of his great grace and mercy had provided a sacrifice of sins, forgiveness, and atonement in the Lord Jesus Christ, his own son, his life, death, and resurrection. And I was given repentance and faith, and I believed, and since suddenly, you know, born again, I'm a new creation. Football fell away from being God, and Jesus is God as he is, and football just fell into its right position. And then, you know, I think I became the best kind of footballer I could be, because it wasn't everything to me. It's still, you know, I worked hard and played hard, but because my identity lay in Christ first, I was the best kind of footballer I could be after that.
Was it difficult, though, being, you know, a professional athlete and having that faith kind of intersect into that life of Gavin Peacock? Because as every athlete has told us here on this show, or former athlete, whether you're a Christian or not, but it's, even when you're a Christian, you still struggle with identity. You still struggle with approval. You still struggle with achievement.
Yeah.
What was that like for you early on? And you did this for a long time. Like, you played till 2002 as a pro. So you were, you know, into your 30s playing soccer, and yet you were Christian this whole time as well. Yeah. What was that like for you?
Yeah. I always say, you know, people say, is it difficult being a Christian and an athlete? And I say, it's difficult for any Christian in any walk of life. You know, you fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil. Yes. But I think as a Christian athlete, professional athlete, there are certain unique pressures that you face, because your faith is lived out in a very public arena. So people are very much watching, especially if you're public about your faith. Yeah. And you also experience massive highs and massive lows within 2 or 3 days. You know, you're the hero on the Saturday, headlines in the back pages, everyone wants to interview you. By Tuesday, you've missed an open goal, you've been injured, you're out the team, and it's down. So these massive highs and massive lows. And so the obviously the key is that, you know, your identity must be firmly rooted in Christ and not soccer. Now, that is something that, like you mentioned, we all kind of battle with, that because that is the big battle of the Christian life, to realize who you are in Christ and live that way, not like the old person and not with the old worries. And, you know, it was a growing realization that my sense of worth and identity was not tied to the sum of my performances on a Saturday or midweek in the games. It was solely in Jesus Christ. And that's what helped me to ride the ups and downs and the scrutiny of a very pressurized public career in professional football. And I had some good mentors around me as well. So I say, you need to be in a good church. You need to have a good devotional life in the word and prayer daily. And you need good mentors around you, as men. I'm a man in sport. For women, I recommend female mentors, but I had men that spoke into my life, experienced Christian men. And I think with those three things, a good church, good devotional life, and those men, and then finally I had a good wife. I was 20. I was 18 when I got saved, met my wife 6 months, wife-to-be 6 months after she got saved. We were married at 21, and I had a good wife. And so those things combined helped me ride through my Christian my football career, with Christian faith intact and strengthened whilst facing many challenges along the way.
What was it like within the clubhouse? Were there team chapel services? Was there chaplains? What was faith like in the pro soccer world? And maybe you can even bring it to what it's like today. I don't know if you can speak for today, but certainly being around the game for so many years, I'm sure you know some people who are around the game still today. But what is faith like in the pro soccer world? Specifically, I know you were overseas and being in England and other places. What was that faith like? I'm guessing it wasn't prevalent, but what was it like?
Yeah, that's a great question, because in the US, I always looked and saw, you know, that Christian athletes were able to be very public about their faith, and they seemed to be kind of a little bit more in terms of the chaplaincy around, even in high schools and that. And in England, not so much. There were a few Christians in professional football in my day, but not lots. And there were a few chaplains, but not many. You know, I had the privilege of, by God's providence, of having two or three chaplains at the clubs that I was at. And that was good, because those guys had the difficult job. You know, they had to earn the trust of the players, of the lads in the dressing room, who could often, you know, give a little bit of mockery and that to what the chaplain did. At the same time, be wise to kind of be an ear for listening to these guys when they had their problems, and bringing the gospel in where appropriate. But a couple of things I did. I was involved with Christians in Sport UK, which is like Athletes in Action US to some degree.
Sure.
And I started a London Christian Footballers Bible Study at my own home. My wife and I would host it once every sort of 6 weeks, and we'd gather whatever Christians I knew of that were in the London area that would come along with their wives or girlfriends, and someone from Christian in Sport would come. He's now the chief executive, Graham Daniels. He writes the foreword for my book here, good friend of mine. He would come and give a message from the Bible. We would sing, we would pray together, we'd talk about the unique pressures we faced as footballers and Christians. And it was a bit of a prototype and a model that they took forward from there, and so they started replicating that all over the country. Now, there's a lot more Christians, I think, within professional sports, and certainly university sports, and Christians in Sport work with those guys. And so I would say that was one key thing that was small and then has grown. And the other thing with the chaplains, now there's chaplains, I think, in virtually all of the 90 football league club, professional football league clubs in the UK, which is a remarkable growth in the last sort of 20, 30 years.
Hey guys, let's take a quick break from our conversation here on Sports Spectrum to tell you a little bit more about our friends, our partners, Convoy of Hope. They are a faith-based international humanitarian relief organization, and they have one simple goal: to bring help and hope to those who are impoverished, who are hungry, and who are hurting. You can check them out at convoynation.com. Convoy of Hope is all about engaging, caring, nourishing, growing, responding, and partnering. They do such amazing work. And I'm talking about providing things like free groceries, health and dental screenings, haircuts, family portraits, hot meals, job placement assistance, and much more. They hold these events all around the country that people can get involved with and actually serve and help those in need. But there's also ways for you and I to get involved. Maybe there's not an event right in our backyard, but we can get involved with Convoy of Hope. We can start our own event. We can donate. We can pray for the work that they are doing. They are a great organization. I highly recommend. Sports Spectrum loves being involved with these guys, and we highly recommend that you would get involved as well. You can check them out at convoynation.com. Check them out at convoynation.com. You can donate, you can pray, and you can be a part of the great work that they are doing, supporting Convoy of Hope's innovative international programs. Check out convoynation.com. We're so glad to have Gavin Peacock here on Sports Spectrum with us today. He's got a new book. It's called A Greater Glory, From Pitch to Pulpit, released back in May, and is available everywhere books are found, certainly on Amazon or wherever you get your books, you can get it. And Gavin, this has been a really great conversation about your journey But there's more to it. There's a moment here where you retire and you do the broadcasting thing, the media thing at BBC, which a lot of athletes do when they retire. But for you, there's a greater calling, a greater glory, as your book is titled. And it happens around 2006, 2007, I think you said earlier, where you felt like God was nudging you and pulling you into a different type of level of ministry in the church. Can you take us through that progression of retirement and being in the media, but then hearing God's call to say, hey, I want to direct you into this area?
Yeah. My media career was going really well. I had to start again from scratch. Because my identity wasn't ultimately tied up in football, it made my transition after football a little easier. It didn't mean that it wasn't difficult and I didn't feel the loss of football. But I knew the Lord would provide something else. And media side of things was getting bigger and bigger in the 90s through my football career. By the time I retired in early 2000, there were then more opportunities for ex-professionals to make a career out of media.
Yeah.
But I had to start again. I wasn't, David Beckham retiring and and going to sit on a big contract at the BBC. I had to earn my way in, but it went well. And I talk about in the book principles of starting again and how you can start again in a new career and what you need to do that. And it was really going well. And I was probably even more well known in my media career than my football career, because your face is on TV and your voice is on the airwaves all the time in front of millions.
Yeah.
And then in 2006, the World Cup in Germany took place, and I was there with the BBC. And after that, it was kind of like the zenith of my career to date in the media. My wife got very ill. She had a kidney infection and was in hospital for a couple of weeks, and it was quite the thing. And as is often the case when in a period of suffering or trial, God can use that to refocus or recalibrate. And I was just in the pastoral epistles reading 2 Timothy 4, and Paul's call to Timothy to preach the word in and out of season, literally for the sake of the future of Christianity. And I realized, well, something has suddenly stirred. What a charge this is. What a thing this is to preach God's word to God's people, to shepherd God's people. Maybe there's something I should be doing here. And, I'd always led men into the arena. I'd been a leader, captain of all my teams. I've been in the BBC and terms of communications and all of that. So I went, that was an internal call, and I could have been wrong. It just could have been in a wrong sense that I had. But then I spoke to my church leadership, who recognized certain gifts and also character qualifications from the scriptures. And they gave me opportunities to preach. And then I started to study the Bible at Cambridge University, Old Testament, New Testament. Mm. And so I was still doing the TV stuff on the weekends. And then on a Monday, I drove up to a leafy ancient Cambridge city, and I'd be in there with all the guys that were going into church ministry, and all they wanted to do was ask me about football and what I'd said about their team on TV on the Saturday. And all I wanted to do was study the Bible. And so it was quite funny. But as soon as I started to study, I said to my wife, Amanda, I'm going to give up this second dream career. People will think I'm crazy, but I need to take some time to prepare for church ministry if God would have it.
Wow. And so then what happened?
I spoke to the head of sport at BBC. I was about to go in 2008 to the European Championships with the BBC. And we had prepared then I could have studied in the UK, of course, but what would it look like to go away to anonymity where no one knew me or cared about my football career? And they would just know what I had to say from the Bible. And it would be a good test for us as a family, test of our faith, test for our kids who were 15 and 12. We knew Canada quite a bit. We'd be coming here to Western Canada. And so we said, right, we'll go for 3 years. I took up a student visa, wouldn't be able to earn money for 3 years here, just do my studies. So we lived off savings, or we were prepared to live off savings. And my final gig for the BBC was in summer of 2008 at the European Championships, and the Euros are going to just start again in a couple of weeks' time now, which is always a reminder for me. And the head of BBC said, you have to say something to the public because you won't be there in a few weeks' time. Yeah. And I was given 2 minutes to explain to the public why this guy with a great second career was going off to the mountains to study theology. And I knew some people would think I was crazy, but many people wrote to me saying that, you know, that they admired the conviction, Christians and non-Christians. And so hardest 12, 13 years of our lives, this past 12, 13 years, we thought we'd stay for three. God opened a door, gave me a position as associate pastor here in the church in Calgary. And then he's opened doors. So I went to anonymity and he's opened doors now to speak globally as I get invited to speak at churches all over the world and in the States and in the UK and to preach and to teach on things like the family and fatherhood and being a husband and also aspects of, you know, bringing my testimony to bear for non-Christians as well.
Are you finding a lot of people are like, I remember that Gavin Peacock when he was playing, or I remember that Gavin Peacock when he was broadcasting, and what's he doing now? He's a pastor now. Oh, let me find out more about this. And then now you have a chance to share your testimony. Are you seeing that and finding that out now that you've, I guess, come out of anonymity a little bit when you write a book and you're on social media?
Yeah, I think so. More and more, you know, you find that, and then they're intrigued, and people because they think, well, you gave up something. Well, obviously the football career came to an end, so I had something that was everything to many people, and then I had that second dream career that was, you know, who would give that up? Right. And they want to ask, well, why, and what is that all about? Because everyone in life is seeking satisfaction. Everyone in life is, you know, no one gets up in the morning and says, I want to be unhappy. No one gets up in the morning and says, I want to have no purpose or I want to have no identity. Look at the world. It's struggling with identity all the time. Mm-hmm. And only God can provide that for anyone. He made us for himself. And until our hearts find their place with him, we will never find true satisfaction. We might find momentarily satisfaction and identity, but not true. And to only God through Christ can deal with our biggest problem, and that is our sin and reconciliation in relationship to him. And so, you know, I found amazing, in my football career, I had amazing conversations with soccer stars that you'd never think would ask about Christianity. And now, even as I progress through life, you know, the football, the BBC career is a bridge for the gospel. And I think that everyone has bridges and every Christian has bridges that they need to look for to make with other people where they can bring the gospel in. Because you've all got a story, you've all got a testimony, and every testimony that a Christian has is a miracle. And in my opinion, it's an interesting and great testimony. So just an encouragement to anyone who's a Christian listening that, you know, to use those bridges to bring the gospel to people as you can.
Is there a story you can share, and don't name names if you can't name the names, of someone where you thought, there's no way this guy is ever going to come to Christ? I mean, you know, I've been working on him, or even just talking to him, or, you know, he's rejecting, and all of a sudden something happens and he says yes, and the life that you knew before is different and he's transformed. Is there a story you can share? It could be from your pro playing career. It could be from your BBC times, or even now as a pastor.
Sure. Well, they, you know, I won't name names. One of my roommates for a few years, you know, he was a great guy, real character, funny. And he's had all the banter and that. And, you know, whenever the chaplain would come to the training ground, he would always kind of mock him and make a little bit of fun of him, and in a good humored way. And I liked him very much, and we had conversations and such. And then, you know, I moved away and he moved on, and we kept in touch a little bit. And then just one night, I got a text from him saying, Gavin, you'll never believe this. I text back, what? He says, I'm reading my Bible every day now. He says, I've started to go to church, and he said, I'm starting to pray. And anyway, you know, a long story short, he'd come to the end of himself. You know, all of the stuff that he thought he could accumulate around him that would give him that satisfaction, that could heal broken relationships in the past and could give him true purpose, it wasn't satisfying. A couple of Christian friends had said, well, why don't you come to church with us? And why don't you hear what the Bible has to say about us all and what God has done through Jesus to save people for himself? And he said, you know, I've become a Christian. And so that was someone I thought, no way, not, he'd never. And that just shows you that it's a miracle. For Christians, it's not, we don't convert. We just tell the gospel. We ought not to be ashamed at all of it. It's God's good news, and it's the greatest love story in the world. And it's the greatest act of redemption and salvation and hope that everyone's looking for hope. We just have to present it unashamedly clear, and then even bring in your own testimony of what God's done for you. And then you pray that the Lord do the work. And he may do it today. He may do it in a few years. You may be using a chain of people that is in that person's life, but you might never know. Jesus says, you know, in John 15, that you shall bear every branch, true branch, bears much fruit. And for some of us Christians, we think, what fruit have we born? Well, it's the fruit of Christ-like character, but it's also the fruit of evangelism. And you may never know until heaven how your words of gospel words have been used to save someone else.
Yeah, that's really good encouragement. He is Gavin Peacock. Again, the new book is called A Greater Glory, From Pitch to Pulpit, and it's available now. I want to ask you, as we wind down here, when it's all said and done, the legacy of Gavin Peacock, right? What's that legacy that you would want to leave when your time on earth is finished, when people look back and they, you know, you get to kind of oversee yourself at your funeral or whatever it is, your celebration? What legacy do you think you want to leave here on this earth before it's all done?
I think it's just really as a faithful Christian man, Christian husband, father, elder in the local church. I think, you know, there's a chapter in my book, Family Portrait, and, you know, and I say that, you know, if a man wants to leave a legacy, then my family is my legacy. Just, you know, that I've had a great different roles in my life as a soccer player, as a pundit on TV, and even as a pastor, and yet my greatest role is to have been a Christian husband and father. And my family, as it were, would be my letter of recommendation to the church, because how I shepherded my family is how I would shepherd people in the church. So I think that, and I think, you know, that if people looked at my life and my words and my book, and they would see that, you know, football is great, but Jesus is greater, and he is the greater glory that all of us needs in this life.
That's good. Gavin, thanks. Thanks for being here on the show. Continued success to you. Keep preaching the gospel, and congratulations on your book, A Greater Glory, From Pitch to Pulpit. And hopefully we'll get you back on sometime and talk some more. Thanks for joining us.
Would love to come back on. Thanks very much, Jason.
Man, I love that story from Gavin Peacock. His story of Jesus coming in and changing his life. And now he's living for that greater glory, as his book title describes. From Pitch to Pulpit, Gavin Peacock, the former pro soccer player turned pastor. What a story he has. And listen, I could have people from England on all day long. It's my favorite accent. My daughter, who's 17 now, can speak with an English accent in some ways better than people that I've met from England. Like, she's just got this amazing gift to suddenly talk with a British accent. And we could have people on all day long with a British accent talking to us here on the show. And Gavin Peacock, man, he was fantastic. Great story. Love talking to him here on the show. Get his new book, A Greater Glory, From Pitch to Pulpit, out now. And thanks to Gavin for being here today on the show. We really do appreciate him. We appreciate you as well. Thank you for tuning in. As we always do, we want to direct you to our website, sportsspectrum.com. Make sure you go check that out. This podcast is on there, along with devotionals and stories, articles on the intersection of sports and faith. We like to bring Jesus back into the sports conversation, and you can read all about that over at sportsspectrum.com. And when you're there, do us a favor, sign up for our weekly newsletter. That way, you stay in tune to all of the different content that we're creating here at Sports Spectrum. Articles, podcasts, devotionals, our magazine. You can sign up for free at Sports Spectrum's website, sportsspectrum.com. You click the newsletter icon and you're good to go to receive our weekly email. You'll also get a free gift, a daily devotional, a 10-day daily devotional written by professional athletes, current and former athletes, and it's free. A free downloadable PDF comes right to your inbox when you sign up for Sports Spectrum Weekly, which you can do for free at sportsspectrum.com. Lastly, tell someone about this show. Tell someone about Sports Spectrum. If you know someone that loves sports and loves Jesus, man, this is the place to turn. And then if you get them here, have them subscribe to the podcast. You can rate and review it as well. Just gets the word out as we continue to tell these stories on Sports and Faith. Thanks for tuning in. Again, my name is Jason Romano. We love you guys. And have a great rest of your day.